Tonight we turn to God's Word as it's found in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We are going to begin our reading at verse 26 and then read through the end of this chapter. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. What we hear now is God's Word. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all of the towns until he came to Caesarea. And here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we continue our look at this second section of the spread of the gospel as recorded for us in the book of Acts. That gospel message originating in Jerusalem and then spreading out in concentric circles from there. And now dealing with the gospel coming to Judea and Samaria. We are talking about the work of a man named Philip. Philip was introduced to us back in chapter 6 as one of those men set apart for service in the church, a man full of the Spirit, known to be full of the Spirit. And we saw last time how God used Philip to bring the gospel out of Jerusalem now and down to Samaria. Samaria, those who were hated by the Jews, those who were very unlikely to be converted, and yet that's where the gospel takes root as well. We see that same work of the gospel continue tonight as another story about Philip is given to us, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. But what strikes us as we look at this story tonight is the fact that this spread of evangelism is directed by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit's work that is being done as the church goes forward. Today is a Pentecost Sunday. And we often wonder, what is it that the Spirit still does today? Is it the miraculous signs and wonders? No, the Spirit continues today to be at work and continue to work through the spreading of the gospel. The Spirit accompanies the word that many may come to recognize and have faith in Jesus Christ. And we see particularly in this story that this evangelistic encounter must be directed by the Spirit. Because if we look at it from simply human terms, it is the most unlikely encounter imaginable. And I've used that word a number of times on our outline tonight. The Spirit's work in evangelism happens at an unlikely place, happens to an unlikely person, happens through an unlikely passage, and has, what I might suggest, is an unlikely response. Humanly speaking, this story just doesn't make sense. But it's not a human story. It's a story given to us by God to show us the power of His Holy Spirit and to encourage us. That evangelism and the conversion of others is not our work. It is not the job of the church to change someone's heart. It is the job of the church, like Philip, to be obedient to the call of God and to share the truth that we know with others, to be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even now edging toward the ends of the world. Our responsibility is obedience. God, by His Spirit, will take care of the conversions. So God gives us this text to encourage us that He is at work by the power of His Spirit, both at the time of the Acts and still yet today. I suggest that this evangelistic occurrence takes place in an unlikely place. We read verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go south toward to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Where was Philip? He was in Samaria. And he had a thriving ministry there. We read that account a couple different times in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, and there was much joy in that city. Philip had a thriving ministry. God was using him powerfully, casting out demons, healing the sick, helping the lame, all of these things. And God takes him from this city in Samaria, where his ministry is thriving. He says, "I want you to leave. I want you to go someplace else. I want you to rise and go down on the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." And then these words, "This is a desert place." The Spirit of God sends him from this thriving ministry, out into the desert. Not even back to Jerusalem to encourage the church there, but go down from Jerusalem toward Gaza. A ministry in a desert place. Now, we have lived in the desert, and perhaps this last week on Monday and Tuesday, we had a brief little bit of a taste of what desert heat is like as our temps approach the high 90s here in Sioux Center. To go to the desert to do ministry makes absolutely no sense. No one goes out to a desert place, to that kind of heat. To this road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, it was not a well-traveled road. Oh, it was a road laid out, but not a well-traveled route. And it's a very unlikely place for God to send this powerful evangelist, this powerful man, Philip. But the Spirit of God has something else in mind for him. And He sends him down to this desert place and sends him there. Our text says, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Perhaps some of you have a note in your Bibles that phrase, toward the south, more literally means in the middle of the day. It came to be used as a directional reference, but literally it is, go down to this desert place in the middle of the day. Everyone knows. If you're traveling in the desert, you do it early in the morning, or you do it late at night, but you do not travel through the desert in the middle of the day. And yet, this is where the angel of the Lord sends him. This unlikely place, this strange choice, this desert place, when the sun is at its hottest, go there, for I have ministry for you to do. God, through His Spirit, sends Philip out to this unlikely place to remind him that God is the one in control. God is the one who will guide and direct how His church will advance. He will do that in His ways and in His time, and it is up to Philip to be obedient. And so we read in verse 27 that he rose and he went. And, amazingly, on this desert road, not well traveled, in the middle of the day, he actually meets someone. He rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. Amazingly, he meets someone at this unlikely time, in this unlikely place, meets a man who is traveling, a foreigner, an Ethiopian, not a Samaritan like we had been ministering to before, someone who obviously had some connection with Judaism, for we read that he had come from to Jerusalem to worship and was now returning back to Ethiopia, so he had some acquaintance with the Jewish religion. And God puts this person in Philip's path. I suggest an unlikely person. He is a court official who was in charge of all her treasure. A high official in the government. One used to caring for the treasures of the Queen of Ethiopia. He was no regular person. He was no layman. We might say today it would be like meeting, who's the chairman of the Fed? Ben Bernanke. Meeting him on the street. Unlikely. And striking up a conversation. And not about just anything in particular, but striking up a conversation about religious things. Philip meets this unlikely person, this high official, this treasurer of the court. And we read, he was an Ethiopian, a eunuch. Perhaps we have to remind ourselves of the Old Testament instructions and laws from Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, which forbid a eunuch from entering into the assembly of the Lord. This one was forbidden by law to come into the temple. But this is the one. This is the one who God orchestrates to put exactly at that place and exactly at that time. This unlikely choice. In every human way, this would be the last possibility for evangelism. Someone who's a foreigner, someone who's a high official, someone who is by law excluded from the temple. The last possible human choice. But God's choice. To remind Philip, to remind us, that evangelism is the work of God by the power of His Spirit. He is the one who is in control. He is the one that is guiding and directing this encounter as these two men come together. And I suggest that he's reading an unlikely passage of Scripture. This Ethiopian comes down and the Spirit, 29, the Spirit says to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran over to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Heard him reading out loud. I kind of imagine, you know, this guy had gone down to Jerusalem, down to the temple, kind of like when maybe a minister goes to a conference. There's a book table there. He can't help but pick up the latest book. He picks up a copy of the scroll of Isaiah and wants to read it right away on the way home. And he's reading this scroll of Isaiah as he travels along the way back to Ethiopia, reading out loud. The Spirit has told Philip, go over and be near that chariot. And he hears the man reading. And Philip asks him this question. I would suggest a rather daring question. Do you understand what you're reading? This is an intelligent man. This is a court official. This is the treasurer of the treasures in Ethiopia. Do you understand what you're reading? Quite a bold and daring question that Philip asks this man, a man of intelligence. And amazingly, the man, rather than being offended, well, of course I understand, or who are you to ask me a question? The man says, how can I understand unless someone guides me? The reminder of the need to have God's Word opened up to those who are coming to it and looking for the truths therein. How can I understand unless someone guides me? And he invites Philip to come up and to sit with him. And they look at this passage of Scripture together. The unbeliever on his own, unaided by the Spirit, or an encounter directed by the Spirit, will never understand the Scriptures. For these things are spiritually discerned. No, it will take someone to open up the passage. It will take someone to open up this truth and the Spirit to be active in that encounter for this man to come and understand what's being said and what he is reading. And so he's reading this passage. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. A selection of Isaiah 53. And the eunuch asks exactly the right question. Notice what he asks, children. He doesn't say, what is this passage about? He doesn't say that. He says, I ask you, about whom does the prophet say these things? Who is this passage about? The Bible records to us many wonderful stories that highlight the glorious works of God. Things we should know, things we should be well acquainted with. But ultimately, it's not so much what the stories are about as it is whom the stories are about. The stories are about Jesus. He asked this question. Does he speak about himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. He opens up the Word of God and explains. This points forward to Jesus Christ. This reference to a lamb, this reference to a sheep, is a reference to the Lamb of God, who would come and offer up himself as a sacrifice for the sake of his people. I would have loved to have heard that exposition of Isaiah 53. A passage so beautiful, a passage even today, we on this side of the cross see all the allusions to Christ. And Philip here, for this man who is, to whom it was completely new, has this scripture opened up to him. A scripture from Isaiah. An unlikely text. Probably, not the first text we would choose in an evangelistic encounter. Perhaps we would go to something a bit more accessible, something in the New Testament. We've talked about that before. But we must not forget that all of Scripture speaks about Christ. Who is it about, children? It's all about Jesus. And what God is doing in Jesus to bring salvation to His people. He would be the one whose life is taken from the earth. The one who would offer up Himself like a sheep on the altar. His life taken away for the sake of His people. Do we really believe that all texts point to Christ? I know we confess that all the Scriptures are about Jesus Christ, but do we really believe that from any text of Scripture we could open up the glories of the gospel? Only if the Spirit is active. Only if the Spirit is present. Philip takes this particular text and the Spirit blesses the opening of his mouth, and beginning with this Scripture, He told him the good news about Jesus. We talked this morning about Scripture's sufficiency in salvation. It teaches us everything we need to know that we might be saved and that others, by the power of the Spirit, might be saved. The Spirit's work in evangelism. It can happen in an unlikely place to an unlikely person, using perhaps an unlikely passage, and I suggest, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, there is an unlikely response. The response is, the man believes. The man hears the words of the gospel. And as they're going along, he says, look, I see some water here. What prevents me from being baptized? I want to be a part of this. I believe this truth. I believe what you've said. I believe this Jesus. I want to be incorporated into this. Now, why do I say an unlikely response? Perhaps it reflects some of my own heart. Do we really believe that the opening of the gospel will change someone's life? Oh, we read about it again and again in Scripture. We read about it here in this text, how when the Spirit is active, their hearts are changed, immediately changed. Do we believe that? That if we would really open up God's Word to an unbeliever and point out the glory of Jesus Christ, how He died to save fallen mankind, how He secured their salvation, do we expect people's lives will change? Or do we perhaps cynically say, well, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't? Philip opens up the Scriptures, and the man believes. The Spirit is at work through the Word, and that is confirmed then by the waters of baptism. If we do believe that opening God's Word really can change a heart, really can change a life just like that, then I guess we have to ask ourselves, why don't we do it more frequently? Why don't we share this glorious truth more frequently with those around us? If it really is that which takes people from death and brings them to life. Yet so often we're hesitant. Perhaps lack that confidence in Scripture as that which is sufficient unto salvation. Perhaps it's a feeling that if we do open up the Word and somehow their hearts are not changed, that perhaps we have failed. Remind ourselves again from Acts chapter 8. The conversion of hearts, the changing of people's lives, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot convince anyone into heaven. God does that by the power of His Spirit when He changes a heart of stone and makes it a heart of flesh. But just because that's God's work doesn't remove from us the obligation, as we have throughout the book of Acts, to be His witnesses. We will not have failed if we open up the Word of God and someone says, I want nothing to do with that. We will not have failed. we will have failed if we don't open the Word of God. If we are not faithful to the calling to share the glorious truths that we know, that we love, that we embrace, that are so important to us. Is there anything more precious than the gospel? Is there anything more precious than knowing that even in the depths of my sin, God would send His own Son to pull me out of those depths and give me all the glories of heaven? What is more precious than that? And yet we're so often hesitant to share that glorious treasure with those around us. God in this story works in unlikely ways. Unlikely place, unlikely person, unlikely passage. God is still at work today. And He works in our lives, perhaps in the same unlikely ways. Maybe we are talking with a friend at work or a colleague or a neighbor or someone at the coffee shop and suddenly, for no particular reason, the conversation takes a turn toward the things of God. Is our first response to turn it back again so it doesn't come near us? Or are we in tune that perhaps at this time, at this place, the Spirit might be using us, an unlikely person, to share the truth of the gospel? God tends to put people in our path, people we don't necessarily expect, perhaps people we don't even like that much. But suddenly, the Spirit works and the conversation changes. And are we prepared? Are we ready to open up the text of Scripture and with our mouths tell the good news about Jesus Christ? That's the ongoing evangelistic work of the church. Not that the church in ourselves converts anyone. No, that's the work of the Spirit. But we are called to be faithful, and we are called to be obedient. And we're called to pray for opportunities to do so. When we pray for that, God has a way of answering those prayers in ways that we don't expect. Unlikely ways, unlikely places, unlikely times. But if we diligently pray, Lord, provide me the opportunity to be used by You in God's way, in God's place, in God's time, He will answer those prayers. Not like we expect, perhaps in unlikely ways, with unlikely people, but an evidence again that it is God's work in evangelism, the Spirit who changes hearts and lives. We need to come to expect that God will continue this work. Expect that He will use His Word by the power of the Spirit to open people's eyes, even to strange, unlikely passages from the prophets, from the law, from all of Scripture. And we need to then be ready. Ready when God puts that unlikely encounter in front of us. Obedient, as Philip was obedient, going to a different place than where he was actually active, and yet being used by God to open the Word, the Spirit blessing that encounter, and bringing this man to faith in Christ. We have a new week coming up. We have things in our schedules, plans in our date books. May God make this upcoming week unlikely as we encounter family, friends, people, and places. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your Word, a Word that faithfully records for us not simply the acts of men, but Your acts. What You are doing in the past and in the present by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord God, if we have had a lack of confidence if that has been the root of our fear to share the truth with others, we pray tonight that you would encourage us by your word and by your spirit to remind us that you are the one in control in evangelism, that we are not called to change anyone's heart, but we are simply called to be faithful witnesses of the truth that we know. Lord God, we pray for the week to come that you might, in your ways, perhaps unexpected to us, give us opportunities to open your word, that your spirit might be active there. And in this, O God, will you receive the honor, glory, and praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.